I'll go down and see what this is all about, see what Ben has to offer. And so called down and made an appointment to come in and see Ben, and walked into his office and sat down, and Ben looked over his glasses at me, which he was prone to do from time to time, and as we all do as we get a little bit older in life, and said, "Well, Mark, it's great to see you." And we, you know, shook hands and talked for a little while about, you know, just about things and about life. And he said, "Well, I understand that you're interested in radio." And I said, "Well, yeah, I'd always been, and I've, you know, as people have always told me, that I got some sort of voice that might, you know, work well with radio." And I knew classical music fairly well at that point in time. And he said, "Well, I think we have a position here that is available for you. It's a student announcer." And I, a what?
So you had
a student announcer. And he goes, "Well, yeah, you have to take at least 6 hours worth of classes to be able to have this job here." And I was, I think I was almost, you know, 28, 29 years old at that point in time, and wasn't really interested in maybe coming back to school. But I said, "Well, sure, I think I can do that." So I went right from here from the studios here, right across the hall, or right across the way there to Hovey, and got some papers and took them home and filled them out. And the next thing I know, he had talked to a few people over in Hovey about who I was and things of that nature, and I think helped to plant a few seeds here and there. And my grades from 10 years beforehand weren't stellar by any stretch of the imagination, but I think Ben and what he was doing at that point in time was helping out a young man that he had known for years and years and years. And and I said, "Well, sure, I'll come on board." And, you know, 6 hours of classes later, I'm sitting here doing classical music in the evening, and did that for years. So it was just a great time.
So what kind of a boss was he?
I mean, I think apart from the fact that I had known him so well, Ben listened to everyone, and I mean, really listened. And I think that was probably what made him not only a great boss, but also a great person in radio. He had a knack and a talent for listening to what it was that you said, and picking out the important parts of a sentence that you might have, or a dream or an idea or a concept, picking out those things. And I think that was one of the best things, that he listened past the point of a relationship. Other than that, he knew radio inside out. Radio was a part of his life. I know that it goes back to Detroit years ago, when they were during the war years, when he was in Detroit and working in radio. And I don't remember the story specifically, but I do believe that he had something to do with the Green Lantern, whether it was producing a show or producing that show as it ran through radio in Detroit or not. It's a little bit foggy as far as that's concerned.
And for those who don't remember recall or are old enough to know, The Green Lantern was a classic radio drama, right? back in the heyday.
Yeah. And so, I mean, he had been a part of radio for such a long time, and just knew the ins and outs of it, knew everybody in town as far as what they did in radio, whether you worked here or you worked at another radio station. He knew who you were, and he knew what it was that you were doing within radio. And he was just on top of everything. And he had great dreams for this station as well, from the time when it was in Cook Hall, barely able to get off the campus, to where it raised up to, I think it was 1,250 watts or something like that, to be able to get a little further off campus and a little bit more into the community. But just always had great dreams and a great way of being able to do that. And because of his demeanor, and people liked Ben, and people within the university liked what he did. Even he was an administrator as opposed to being a teacher, but he was a great teacher as well. And people, he knew how to be able to get things done.
Now, you mentioned when he hired you, you had kind of a little bit of a past. Talk a little bit about how far back you go with Ben and his family.
Back to 1971, I was a freshman at University High School. And I'd been in sports, and then I decided, after being hurt in so many different things in sports, somebody had said, "You ought to try out for his play, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying." Frank Taranja was there, the late Carol Brandt was there, and I went in and tried out and got a part in the chorus. And Ben and his wonderful daughters, and Anne, his wonderful wife, were kind of royalty as far as theater was concerned at U-High. His eldest daughter, Kathy, was there, and it had been in many, many shows. She was a senior when I got there. Mary, his second daughter, was, I believe she was a sophomore, a year older than I was, and Judy and Amy kind of came along a little bit later in life. But he was there and just totally involved in what was going on there. GLT, which would go over there, Dave Mulcahy, who was an engineer here at the time, went and recorded some of the plays and stuff like that. So that's the first time that I met him, as far as, this is Mr. Paxton, he and this other gentleman will be recording our play. And so I got to know him in that way a little bit. And then as I got into theater and more into speech, he was there all the time. He helped with our radio broadcast, or people who were in radio, I don't know what they're called, radio, not what do they call it even these days? Radio, not radio speak.
Well,
radio
they call talk. It well, there, on the speech team. There was something called radio speaking.
Yeah, radio
was
speaking
was one of the
right.
One of the events.
Yeah. Clay Hewlett and a whole bunch of other people that were all on that, and you would just sit there and read through things and be like you were on radio. And I tried that a little bit, but I wasn't good at sticking to scripts, as you may know. But got to know him that way, and he was just there for all of those plays. Anne was always there helping with costumes. They were very active in their daughters' lives, and then consequently in all of the lives of the people who were in that theater department. We were really, really a close-knit group of people back then. And then, I also dated Mary for a while. So how
did that change your relationship with him around a bit?
A little bit more of a close eye on what I was doing, and just I think a little bit more. He was just interested in what I was doing. You know, how are your grades? How are you doing? And I think when you have four daughters, he was the only male in the house. I think there might have been times that it was kind of nice having another guy around, just to be able to talk about other things. But he was just what a wonderful father. Loved his daughters amazingly, and his wife and his family and his grandkids, great grandkids. He's just what a loss. What a loss.
What I'll always remember about Ben is that instant smile that he would flash whenever he first made eye contact with you, and that he always spoke with you as if he'd known you for a really, really long, long time. What else can you recall about him?
The smile, as you say, and it's always. There was it was not a taken back. It was an expression on his face where it was almost a surprise of how are you, like, and that smile and his little pencil thin mustache that just kind of turned up just barely, not quite Salvador Dali-esque, but just turned up at the edge just ever so slightly. Just a gracious, gracious person, a very humble man, very soft spoken, very gentle, and yet. When the time needed to be done, when there were some times when he was a little concerned about my driving, I remember there was a little bit of sternness there, and he looked straight at you, and he, like you said, he entered into those conversations. But I mean, just a terribly talented man with his railroad that he got into and doing his miniature railroads that he did past the point of retirement, and then later in life even getting into art. So I mean, it's just a well-rounded. Didn't know a stranger. I think that's kind of, you know, he knew everybody, just knew everybody.
Well, Mark Boone, as you mentioned, it is a great loss for a community. Thanks for stopping by today and for sharing your memories of Ben Paxton with us.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. And, you know, WGLT would not be what we are, what this radio station, this great radio station is, without his foresight, without his ideas, and without his concepts about what this radio station could do, not only for the university, but for the community. And it's a loss not only for our community, but certainly for the university community as well.